It's not exactly what anyone wanted, but there is a deal averting the fiscal cliff that the president is expected to sign. Its key feature, it raises taxes on the wealthiest of Americans, but protects individuals earning under $400,000 from tax hikes. President Obama spoke about the deal and about the atmosphere on Capitol Hill overnight.
The one thing that I think hopefully in the new year we'll focus on is seeing if we can put a package like this together with a little bit less drama, a little less brinksmanship, not scare the heck out of folks quite as much.
The House approved the fiscal plan last night, 257 to 167, with many Republicans opposed, but with all 10 members of the all-Democratic Massachusetts House delegation voting for it. Voting for it, retiring Congressman Barney Frank of Newton, who steps down tomorrow as the new Congress is sworn in. Congressman Frank joins us now. Good morning and thanks.
You're welcome.
Congressman Frank, you satisfied with this deal? You must be. You voted for it. Why do you think it's a good plan?
Oh, I think it's the best plan achievable. The deal that we have is not good from my standpoint, but as I said, it is the best we could get. For one thing, there are some negative good factors. That is, it did not reduce the cost of living increase for poor older people. It did not put off Medicare for two more years. In fact, we ought to be getting more people into Medicare. Next, it did raise taxes on the wealthiest people in America, not by the right amounts. It didn't get as many people as it should. But we will have, as a result of this, hundreds of billions of dollars more to use both to reduce the deficit and to spend on needed quality of life programs than we otherwise would have gotten.
As you know, many of your Republican colleagues did not vote for the measure, saying that it did not do enough to cut down the federal deficit or really even tackle the problem of the federal deficit. What would your response be to them?
Well, let me rephrase that, Bob. These people are not primarily concerned with cutting down the deficit. In fact, they opposed part of it that I just talked about, bringing in hundreds of billions of dollars, which we will be using in part to reduce the deficit. If you look at my Republican colleagues who voted that way, most of them, not all of them, are for increasing military spending. And that is, of course, the area where we have had the greatest increases in spending. The Republicans don't object to that at all. Most of them want to increase it. Similarly, when we raise taxes on the wealthiest people, and you know, let's be clear what we're talking about. It's nothing confiscatory. Under this bill, if you are making, as an individual, more than $400,000 each year in taxable income after all your deductions, if you make another $1,000, on that $1,000 you'll pay another $46 in taxes. No one can think that that has any significant negative effect either on the taxpayer or on the economy.
As you point out, you won't be part of the next Congress. You're retiring. The new Congress will be sworn in tomorrow. Are you worried that the new Congress is going to be saddled with more brinksmanship going on as the new Congress debates these other big issues, the budget cuts that it has to debate within the next 2 months, the raising the federal debt ceiling, which it is also going to debate? Is there going to be brinksmanship and political partisanship right straight through the next Congress?
Well, we talk about partisanship, and I want to approach this directly, Bob. There is this tendency among commentators to say, well, why can't you people get together? Understand that excessive partisanship was not a problem in America up through 2010. Then the Tea Party Republicans won in 2010 and took over the House. And it's really since that time that you have had this deadlock because you have people who don't believe in governance. What's happened is this. What John Boehner did yesterday was, to give him credit, a break with Republican orthodoxy. He put a bill on the floor that he knew was going to get a minority of Republican votes, but was going to pass because it would have enough of an overwhelming Democratic vote to pass. That has been a rule since the Republicans took over in 95. They wouldn't let any bill come up unless a majority of them were for it. What's happening is the Republicans are now in a great struggle, and this is the direct answer to your question. There will still be partisanship, as there should be in a democracy. That's part of the debate. What we hope you don't get is the kind of excessive partisanship that so embitters that you can't ever reach a conclusion. Clearly, the Republican Party is feeling the heat. The sensible Republicans know that they lost in the last election in part because of this Tea Party extremism. And so the issue will be played out, and it will be the answer to your question. The first one will be, as you correctly point out, the debt limit. Now, refusing to raise a debt limit is just a tantrum. And some of the Republicans are preposterously arguing that they won't agree to pay past debts that this government incurred unless we reduce the cost that will be increased for older people. And there are people living not far from where you're broadcasting right now who are living on maybe $1,500, $1,400 a month. I don't want to penalize them. Clearly, the Republicans are retreating some from this rigid ideology. Not all of them. You know, great majority in the House voted against this bill, although the President, the Senate Democrats, Senate Republicans, House Democrats came together with a compromise that nobody was thrilled with but thought was the best. So we're going to see play out over the next few months what the Republicans do. And one critical element will be the financial community and the business community in general. They stand to lose a lot if these people simply refuse to raise the debt or try to hold vulnerable people hostage.
So given your concerns, given what you say, what would your advice be to the next Congress as you get set to walk out the door?
Bob, again, I'm getting a little frustrated. The Congress is 535 people. Would I give the same advice to the Tea Party as to the Democratic leadership? My advice in general is stand for your position. Advocate what you think is right, but then calculate where the real strength is and agree to a deal that will obviously not be the best you want. And in particular, my advice to, well, I give three kinds of advice to the Democrats. It's to not allow more inequality, not to allow the quality of life to be eroded, and to push for reductions in this worldwide military commitment. To the mainstream conservative Republicans, I would say you've got to regain your control of your party so we can have a legitimate debate, but in the end come to an agreement. And to the Tea Party, my advice would be to kind of mature in terms of attitude of governance, but I have very little confidence that will take hold. I guess you could say that the advice to them would be go back and look again at those last election results.
Massachusetts Congressman Barney Frank, a pleasure speaking with you all these years as a sitting congressman, and we look forward to continuing conversations down the road.
So do I, Bob.